But it's certainly good to be here with y'all tonight. You know, years ago, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote this poem called The Psalm of Life. And he says, "Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but a dream. And the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, and life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Thus thou art to dust returnest, was not spoken of your soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end of way, but to act that each tomorrow finds us further than today. Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though sad and brave, feel like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to our graves. In this world's bald field of battle, in the bivouac of our life, be not like dumb-driven cattle. Be a hero in the strife. Life of great men all remind us we can make our life to the land which means noble. And departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another sailing o'er life's fallen main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother seeing shall take heart again. Lessons learned on the way to the cemetery. And we know we're all on the way, don't we? We don't know when it'll be. Might be tomorrow, might be tonight, might be several years. But you know, somebody asked me, do I think I'll die in 2006? You know what I'd say? No. But I don't know, do I? You don't know either. I know my mother always used to say, I say always, she used to say this, that the old shall die and the young may die. We learn lessons in life. We learn from other people. In fact, you may have heard the old saying, and it says that a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. An average man learns from his own mistakes. But a fool never learns. We're not finished people, are we? And so we learn. Many years ago, I went to a funeral of a man that's in Opelika, and I had this distant preacher there. The preacher's funeral, he was from Mississippi, as best I remember. It's been many years ago. He was preaching this man's funeral that day, and he said something I've never heard anybody say, from the pulpit or any time. He's talking about the importance of being a Christian, and this is what he said. He said, "You'd have to be a rank idiot not to see the benefits of serving God." And I thought to myself, never heard anybody say that. In just private conversation, pulpit, anywhere. Never heard that before. Never heard it since. But I thought about it so many times. You'd have to be a rank idiot not to see the benefits of serving God. You said a mouthful, didn't you? You might say, well, that wasn't the pulpit. Well, whatever. He said it. But I thought a lot about it. The benefits of serving God. Friends, I don't want to meet my Lord in judgment unprepared. There's no reason for me or you to meet him there unprepared, is it? We've got everything's been paved and just waiting for us. We don't live in a country where we can't worship the Lord as we believe his book directs. We're not threatened by people, are we? We live in America where we have this freedom, where we can enjoy the freedom of free ascendance, where we can enjoy the freedom to worship our Lord. You know, I thought about many years ago, I was coming home from Mother and Daddy's house one night. I thought about, if you lose your soul, whose thoughts are going to be? It's just going to be mine, isn't it? I can't blame my mother or my dad or my wife or my kids or my grandkids or nobody in this world. I can't blame anybody but myself. And friends, that's the truth. And we must also see the same thing. We can't blame other people. We've got to accept responsibility. We've got to learn. But we must obey God now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Let's talk tonight about some people in the Bible and about their lives. Some of them know their time's about over. Let's read first of all from Luke 16 about the rich man and Lazarus. Luke 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Who is that? That's me.
at yeast. Agreed? You agree with that? We buy structures for every day. And if we wanted to wear a fine linen, a purple, whatever it is, we could wear it, couldn't we? We have so much. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid into his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. And was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he looked at his eyes being in torment. And see, if Abraham was far off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember. Remember, if thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented, and besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, the rich man said, if thou wouldest send them to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, that lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they have not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Let me ask you a question. What do you think you'll be after death? Now that's why I believe that we will go to a place to wait final judgment. And this place is a place called Hades. It has two parts. Between these parts is a great gulf fish. And one side is paradise. You remember when Jesus told the people on the cross that they thought they would be in paradise? And one side is torment. And that's exactly right here where this rich man was. That's right. You notice what he said? Remember. This man said, I have five brothers. Can you imagine being there in this place of torment and knowing your children were coming to be there with you? Now, I believe this place right here, I believe after this, you'll go to judgment. And then Gehenna hell will be eternal hell where those that are in torment will be cast. So at judgment, we will be in that place, if I understand the Bible, called Hades. Can you imagine how close you are to that? But what have we learned from this rich man? You think he went to hell because you think he went to torment because he was rich? I say not. He was a poor man designed to be fed from his crumbs. It fell from his table. And how many times do we have crumbs that fall from our table? And we don't give them anybody. We don't care about anybody. We don't look for anybody. We kind of shrug it off. We don't think about it. Can we learn a lesson from this? Can we learn a lesson from this man that lived, or you say, well, it's a parable, it's got a name in it. It sure does. Lazarus. How many times has this been true of people? They have lived their life, they enjoyed whatever they had, and didn't care about somebody that was poor and in need. Well, we do all kinds of things for people that don't need it. Come Christmas time, we have to give away toys to have room to buy some more. And that's not true. You give it to people that don't need it. Have no desire for it. Take it very little. Like I told you the other night, what this man told me back this year with Mississippi at a funeral. He said, what you going to buy a kid over 60 years old that he really wants? What can you buy that he really wants, that really needs? What can you buy? You can't. That's what he said. Oh, they'll last for a while maybe, but pretty soon they won't have much use for it. We have so much. Lessons learned. Did this rich man know? Did Lazarus know that he was headed for the cemetery, that he was headed for this place? We don't know either, do we? Our time may be very near. Nobody can know about what David said in Psalms 90. I believe it's 9th verse, maybe the 10th verse, but it's Psalms 99. I'm not going to turn there, but it is Psalms 90. But David said, we spend our years as a tale that is told. And what he says, we're all writing a book. Every life has a story. You are writing a book. You are writing a book with your life right now. Every life has a story. What is your life story about? What is it about? Is it about laying up and storing up and saving things for this life? Is it any wonder the early church members were so strong? Do you know what it said they met daily from house to house? You know, when you have revivals, you come together, you read, you pray, you sing. You're together, you study God's Word together, and you are hopefully uplifted together. You're inspired, aren't you? Does something to you. You know, when you get away from it, you begin to drift, possibly. You go away from home, like a prodigal son. You get to running with the wrong people, spending your money on the wrong things. All the lessons that we can learn from this. Let's look also, it's still in the book of Luke. And this time, chapter 12. In verse 16. Let's read verse 15. Notice what he says as Jesus speaks here. And he said unto them, take heed in the world of covetousness. For man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Take heed and beware of what you want. Because your life is not made up of things. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Have we ever said that to ourselves? If you ever open your pantry door looking at all those things you can, and open your freezer and there's no room to put anything else in there, and open your closet and you can't even put your clothes in there without, you know, you've got to push those hangers down that steel rod so you got room, don't you? You know what I mean? And then you take them out to wear them, you know what? They're wrinkled because they was crammed in your closet because you didn't have room. And your wife says, we've got to add another closet. We've got to buy another freezer. We've got to put some more shelves in that pantry. Because we don't have room to put out. So I do it. And you say to yourself, you say, well, I've got much goods laid up for many years. That's what this man said. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Don't we all do that? He's not talking about strong drink. He says nothing about strong drink. Eat, drink, and be merry. Aren't you happy? You know, I guess I'm happy if I don't feel every day. I'm happy about every day of my life. I feel good. Thankful for it. I eat. I drink. Not stronger. I drink. Water, tea. That's right. Milk. Don't we do that? Don't we do just what this rich man did right here? Don't we do the same thing? Now, let's think about this man. We've got to learn a lesson from this man. Okay? Take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry. But God said unto him, thy food. Huh. What did I say? You start with this little saying? A wise man learns from others' mistakes. Average man learns from his own mistakes. And a fool never learns. God called this man a fool. Jesus called him a fool. My fool, this night, my soul shall be required of thee. Then to whom shall these things be those things basic thou hast provided. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God, my brethren tonight and sisters and friends, how rich are you toward God? What have you stored up in heaven's bank? What is there for you? What was there for you? You know, we talk so much about things that's passed on. We do. Say a lot of good things about them. We really do. I read this one time what this guy said. He said, you know, we say so much good about those that's passed on, but I'll be out of straighten this world out. Just tell everybody's living and bring the folks in the grave. They're so good. Well, we know that's not going to happen, don't we? They passed on. Their reward. Their destiny is forever sealed. But I was still until we still have life and we still have opportunity. We sing that beautiful old song, when we all get to heaven. How many of us are going to get to heaven? How many of you think tonight in this building is going to get to heaven? 100%? You believe we're all going to make it? We don't know, do we? Also, in Luke 12, and this time it's verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Wait a minute. Now wait a minute. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. You know what Jesus said there? You worry about what you're going to wear? Oh, I can't wear this. Don't match this. I can't wear this. I wore this yesterday. You ever go to a wedding? You got to have a brand new dress? Oh, it'd be awful if you had the same old dress to wear to the wedding, wouldn't it? Well, that'd be, probably put you in jail, wouldn't it? That'd be so bad. Wouldn't it? That'd be wrong. Would that be wrong? You worry about them? Is that your concern? You ever wonder about that? You ever wonder about that? You ever think about that? What Jesus says here, the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, but God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add one to his stature one cubit? Can you be taller by thinking about it? If you then be not able to do that which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies how they grow. They toil not neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow set in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, all ye of little faith, and seek not that which you shall eat, or what you shall drink, neither be you of doubtful mind. For all these things that the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Look at this, 33. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupted. Look at that next verse in verse 34. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I heard Daniel say one time, I don't think I'll ever forget this, but Daniel said, where your heart is, your heels will follow. He had it right, didn't he? That's right. Where your heart is, your heels will follow. We're learning lessons, aren't we? You know anything about Sodom and Gomorrah? What was their sin? You know what they're saying while you say, well, there's a bunch of homosexuals living. Well, that's true. But you know what the Bible talks about more than that? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, in verse 49, Ezekiel 16:49, and he says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. And he's going to name here four things: pride, fullness of bread. If you find it, it's Ezekiel 16:49. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, that's three of them. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Brother, we've got to learn a lesson from these people. Okay? They were headed to the cemetery. They didn't know it. They didn't know it. That God took the rain, fire, and brimstone from heaven upon them. They fixed them back. But the sin, those four things, and you ask yourself right now, what about America? Pride? Seems weird. Eat it with. Oh, yeah. Even children, when they're young. Oh, they look down their noses at somebody else. They don't have clothes to wear. Some of them, they're from a poor family or something like that. It's sad. It's really sad. And it goes on into adults many times. We look down at people because of their race or what they got. It is. Pride. You got pride in your life? Let me tell you what the Lord knows. You don't hide it from the Lord. Fullness of bread. You think we don't have fullness of bread? We don't have to talk about that, do we, brethren? Abundance of idleness. Abundance of it. Think about how much idle time you got. Maybe if she strengthened the hand of the poor and needy. And you know what happened? Come on, don't you, brethren? You know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? We got a lot of lessons from those people. Have we learned it? In Daniel chapter 5, the king of Babylon, the king of Babylon, and Babylon, my friends, one of the most wicked nations that ever existed. One time they had a king named Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar had a son named Belshazzar. And at this time in Daniel 5, Belshazzar was king of Babylon. And he made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine with 1,000. And he tasted the wine. He commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. So they brought them out. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, of stone, of houses, of land, of cars. It didn't say that, did it? You think you can make a god out of something like that? You spend more time parsing your car than you do reading your Bible? This thing gets personal, doesn't it? We're going to learn a lesson from Belshazzar tonight? Here he is, praising the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. Now, you're talking about being disturbing. Can you imagine if all of a sudden right now somebody's fingers of a man's hand begin to write right over there above that window sill? I can tell you right now, I would stop saying anything. Oh, yes, I would. I'd stop. And I promise you that I wouldn't have to point you to that. You'd see it. Can you imagine? The fingers of a man's hand rolled over against his counterfeit upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that rolled, and the king's countenance was changed. And his thoughts troubled him, I'd say it did, so that the joints of his loins were loose and his knees smote one against another. Have you ever been that frightened that your knees begin to knock? Well, the king was troubled. Nobody could tell him what this meant. So they brought Daniel in to tell him what it meant. And Daniel said in verse 25, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Interpretation is, God has numbered that kingdom and finished it. Keep telling our way to the balances. and art found wanting, he says, Belshazzar, you have been raised. And you're found wanting. Your life is not what it should be. How tonight would your life, if it was measured, if it was weighed, where would it be? A lot of things you need to get straightened out. A lot of things you need to do. Do it now. Do it now. You may not have tomorrow. Do it now. Make it right. Somebody you've wronged, somebody that you've got problems with, make that telephone call. You go to their house. You make it right. I remember telling this story one time, or reading this story about these, in this little town, these two boys were just bosom buddies. And one day they were sitting in the drugstore. This was a true story. It really happened years ago. Sitting in this drugstore, and this doctor came in and saw these two boys there. And this doctor made the remark. He says, you know, those are two smart boys there, but boy A is smarter than boy B. But in this little town years and years ago, back in, I believe, the 1800s, word of mouth spread around about what that doctor said. And the Spaniards took that thing up. And it wasn't long before the Spaniards was in awe that these two families had been so close. When those boys went off to school, they went to different schools and came back to that town, still enemies, bitter enemies. But they both had a job in that town. But that rivalry still there. Just like what that doctor said about one was smarter than the other. And began to carry guns. They carried guns, if you saw stories, they carried guns every day, these two men. And one day, they met on the streets and the shots rang out. And one of them died there in the street and the other one died later. Both boys is dead. That's right. The parents, the mother, one of these boys, at the time went by and things got no better. Both the boys are dead. And so one day she told her husband, she said, I can't go along with this anymore. I'm going to her house and I'm going to try to make this thing right. And he said to her, that she may spit in your face. She said, but if she does, I'll just wipe it off. It's so bothersome. But anyway, she went over there. And this woman came to the door. And she said, when she came to the door, she kind of stepped back a little bit when she saw it was me. And she said, I told her, I came today to tell you. Sorry. I'm going to put a rose on my son's grave, and I'm going to put a rose on your son's grave, too. She said, oh, please do. And she said, we embraced each other. Sad, isn't it? True story. How many times do we need to make things right, and we don't make it right? We don't do anything about it. Just let it go on. Let it just stay like it is. Learn lessons. Sometimes we learn the hard way. You're weighed and found wanting. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. Yes, my friends, he died that night. Belshazzar did. On the way to the cemetery. That's what his day was like. He worshiped. He praised his God with gold. But he did. Be careful. Be very careful. Let's turn out the book of Acts. Chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. We're going to start beginning at verse 1. Now about that time Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to beg certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. King Herod did. And because he thought it pleased the Jews, he proceeded also further to take Peter also. And then you know, remember the rest of the chapter when Peter got his prison and when he got out,
And then we'll skip on over in the same chapter of Acts 12 to verse 21. This King Herod still. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, stood upon his throne and made an oration unto them. There he is all dressed up, King Herod was, in his robe. And he gave a speech to the people. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." Guess what happened to Herod? Let me tell you something. Listen carefully, please. Do you know what your life is about as a Christian? Of bringing glory to God. That's right. Giving God the glory. Giving God the credit. That's what the Christian life is about. Oh, yes, it is. But it's not to bring us glory. It is not to bring us glory. You remember reading over in Matthew 5 what he says? Right here, the salt of the earth. The city that's set on the earth cannot be here. You're the light of the world. You bring glory to God. That's what he's talking about. That's how he tells you there in Matthew 5. The King Herod had cried out, "This is the voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Just like that. Oh, yeah. Well, he ought to kill James, hadn't he? I believe he's going to kill Peter, don't you? Oh, I think so. He'd be good. But he gave his speech. I don't know what he said. And oh, they thought it was such a fine speech by what they cried out. So the people did. But somebody in his speech, or somebody another, who didn't give God the glory. And these words just struck him. And there he died. He gave up the ghost. Let that be a lesson to us. Give God the glory. Give God the praise. Let's look back off in the same book, and let's look at this time at Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias was to fire up his wife's sort of possession. Now, what was happening here in the early days of the church? The people were selling what they had and dividing it among those in need. I mean, you might own a house or land or whatever, and you go and sell it and bring an order. Even nickel, so to speak. And there you say, "Here's what I got." And you can imagine, I think we can, let's just think about this a minute, what that would be for somebody who's going to sell, get their ego inflated, okay? You know what I mean? You can imagine what that would do. Somebody that's got a big ego, they say, "Oh boy, there's a lot of praising and you know, thanking going on and sort of thing." You can see kind of what was going on here. And so what happened here is Ananias and Sapphira, a man and his wife, they sold their possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So you say, okay, sold the land for $10,000, let's say, but you kept back $5,000 to bring in. You say, okay, here's all we got, $5,000 right here. This is it. We bought it all. Tap us on the back and praise us. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power?" He said, "Ananias, you didn't have to bring it all. You didn't want to. You didn't have to. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. Gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up in grave clothes, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter asked him and said unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." And fell she down straightway at his feet. "Yield up the ghost." And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. That's the question. You need a sacrifice? Do you really? They passed the collections later on Sunday. Pull out your wallet. Put your belongings in the $10 club. Claim you've been in the $10 club. Put it on the plate, don't you? That's really a sacrifice. Isn't it? Is that a sacrifice? I'm asking you. $50, $100. How much is a sacrifice to you? Are we really sacrifice? You read back in the book of Malachi what he says about that? What they would bring to him? They would bring those for sacrifice. They would bring the torn. They would bring the lame. They would bring the blind. They would bring all these things to offer sacrifice to God. He says, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? All the answer by governor. Will he be pleased with thee except by person and say, take it to your governor? Give them a full blind child, whatever it is, that's lame and sick. He says, you're not giving a sacrifice. That's not a sacrifice. Let me tell you what, let me say this to you. If you don't give a sacrifice, don't say you have, okay? Let's learn a lesson on the way to the cemetery. And Master the Fire was on the way to it that day. We need to learn it. There's a lesson to be learned from this. That's why it's in this book. You know what he told us? What Peter said? He said, while it's in your hand, it's yours. When you sold it, it's still yours. You decide what you want to do with it. You ain't got to come out here and tell this lie. Remember the story about Judas? You know, you hear people naming their children biblical names. Martha, Mary, Paul, Peter, Mark, don't we? But you know, you don't ever hear anybody name their child Jezebel or Judas, do you? I ain't ever heard anybody call name Jezebel or Judas. But we know about Jesus, what he did. Oh, he betrayed the Lord. He betrayed the Lord. In Matthew 27, it talks about Judas. And yet, it's such a sad story. It's such a sad story, what he did. He was one of the chosen 12. And in Matthew 27, verse 3, it says, "And Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the third piece of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned about opportunity of innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? Leave out of that." And he cast down the piece of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Oh, sometimes, friends, let me look at something. And we may sell out. People sell out their soul. It may be you're unfaithful to your spouse. You know? It may be you tell a lie. But don't let me tell you something tonight, friends. Sin has is like a slow suicide. It has killing power. Oh, yes. Sin kills ideals. It kills ideas. It kills the will. It kills things that make life worthwhile. And when you come down to press a dying pillar, Peter told him, "I said, why'd you do that? They'll catch you. How about Daniel? You wait and find one. The rich father, the rich man." And so that Lazarus. And that is Judas. He went out and took his life. And you ever remember reading over in Acts, the first chapter? When Peter said, men and brethren, in verse 16, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled with the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. But he was governed with us, and it became part of his ministry, Peter said. Judas was, Judas did. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. You know what I believe that means? He hungered to do right. That's right. Nobody must have taken him down. How sad. An apostle of Jesus Christ had come to that point in his life. 30 pieces of silver. Well, I remember the child singing a song about that. 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of shame. What is your price? What is your price? You say, well, preacher, I don't have a price. I don't have a price. There's not a price. I'm not going to give up on the road to heaven for things of this life. But friends, let me tell you what tonight. You got to put the Lord first. You got to put Him first. You got to first lay aside every weight, as Hebrews says, the sin and weight and weight that are so easy to catch you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. One day at a time, brethren. One day at a time. And we can do it through the help of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died for me. He died for you. That I might have life and have it more abundantly. So many things in this life are not important like we think they are. I read a little story one time that says, we can take a pinch and get it so close to our eye that it blocks out the sun. But it's a very little bag you itself, isn't it? That little penny is. And what the story is about is we can take the smallest things in life sometimes and block out the love of God from our life. The smallest things. Oh, my friend, look at what you're doing with your life now. Are you truly sacrificing? Are you worshiping the God of this life, the materialistic God? Do you give God the glory? Herod didn't, did he? Herod didn't give God the glory. Are you weighed? And are you found wanting? As we stand tonight and sing an invitational song, I want you to think seriously about your life. Search deep within yourself tonight and ask yourself, because we know we're on the road to the cemetery, but ask yourself, are you ready? Do you believe that when you die that you will be right here in torment, remembering a life that was not spent for God, that was not spent serving Jesus Christ, the one that died for you? Do you believe you'll be in paradise there someday to face judgment and to hear those words, enter thou into the joys of our Lord? Oh, what a day that will be. As the Psalm says about Jesus, I shall see when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. We can assist you in either way by coming to be baptized or to ask the church to pray. Won't you come to the front as we stand and as we sing?